if you were a EuroLeague player, what would your position be?
I want to be like Kai Hans.
I love that. I love
because,
that.
Because you won four EuroLeague.
What's up, EuroLeague fans? Welcome to another episode of A Quarter with Kyle Hans. Today, we have a very special guest. This person has refereed more than 1,000 matches in his career. He's taken part in 2 Olympic Games, 2 World Cups, 6 Euro Baskets, not all, but majority of the Final Fours, you know, in the history, you know, of this great competition, this modern era. He's been a staple of EuroLeague for many, many years, for almost 2 decades. And that is the legendary Luigi LaMonica. Luigi, come stai?
Bene, Kai. Thank you for the presentation. Thank you very much. Thank you for to invite me.
Oh, thank you. The very first question I have is, why were you crazy enough to become a referee? Why did you choose that as a profession? A referee, you know, is usually a job that where you don't get a lot of love. You know, you're never right. You know, you don't get a lot of fanfare. So why were you crazy enough to go into this crazy world of being a referee?
Probably because we are not good enough, like as players. So we have to do something to stay in the basketball world, and we decided to start to officiate the games. And it was a kind of the same for me also.
Do you remember your first EuroLeague game? Because I recently broke this 400 career games mark. And you know, people have been kind of like sending me stats and sending me stuff from like the first game I played. And I'm just like, wow, like I can't even like remember going back, you know, all back to that time. So do you remember the first EuroLeague game that you repped?
Yeah, yes, I remember the place. It was in Charleroi in Belgium, 2001. If you want to know also the last one, I know. The last one was this one I remember also the both teams, but it was the final in Belgrade.
Which one was more memorable for you, the first or the last?
For sure it was the last one. But believe me, also the first one has a special taste, I have to say. Was a big memory because also was my first game in 3-person officiating, so it was something completely new.
I'm curious to know, because we talked about it, you know, you got your start, you know, back in 2001, and you know, you had your last game in 2022. What has been the biggest change for you? Because you basically witnessed, you know, all, you know, EuroLeague is going through, you know, so many different periods. My teammates joke at me all the time. They say back when I started playing EuroLeague, we were still playing with this trapezoid lane, and the 3-point line was close, and yeah. You know, we didn't have digital clocks. Everything was analog and all that different type of stuff. So you know, so what has been the biggest change, you know, for you, you know, over the course of your career over almost 2 decades in EuroLeague as a referee?
The first thing it for sure is the technology. I mean, now we have the instant replay. Yeah. That at the beginning of the EuroLeague, we didn't have the new rules. For example, the 24 seconds with the new application of the 14 seconds in offense completely changed the quality of the games. Completely changed the strategy of the games. But for sure also, you players became always bigger and faster and stronger. Yeah. And stronger. So this is something that as a referee we have to work on and to follow your continuous changing. Also the rule is changing every year. Now we have also the technology. It's very easy to reach everybody worldwide. So they are able to change the rules on the interpretation every 6 months, for example. So I think that this is something that really affected to our job, the continuous and fast changing of the rules. This is something that we have to face every time.
How do you as a referee adapt, you know, to those, to the ever-changing rules, to the technology, to the gameplay, the style? I'm sure the style of the game, because the style of your league is a lot different than it was in my career, everything was a little more low post dominated, you know, guys played a little more half court oriented, you know, versus now where everything is more this way, everything is speed, you know, you have, you know, guards going, you know, shooting long distance shots and everything like that. So how are you able to, you know, how as a referee are you able to kind of stay adjustment and kind of work through the adjustments?
Well, thanks God with the Euroleague, we have this, everybody are in the same organization. I mean, it's players, referees and coaches. And before we were three entity completely separate. Now we are talking more and more and more. And for sure, I think that our coaches, I don't want to mention one coach in particular, but our basketball coaches, they are able to teach to all the other coaches of all other sports. Our coaches are so fast to change the mentality and adapt the game to the new rules that we have to follow the new and the new tactics, the new styles, the new ideas, and also the new tricks to try to find the way to cheat the rule, and we have to run back to these changes. So it's for us it's very important to have it's very important to have contact with the coaches with the players to understand better the game. Because one rule is that the rule is very easy to learn. I mean, you read the rule and you can apply immediately. But then there is the interpretation. Then there is, we have to read the game. We have to read the movement of the players. And this is something that is quite difficult for us. You spend so many times to scout the opponents with the clips, with the video and so on. And also we try to copy from you. And now also the referee are preparing the game, watching the team, studying what is the new tactics, study what is the characteristic of that player, if that player is left hand or right hand, if he likes to play face to basket or back to the basket, if he's shot and split the legs. So 10 years ago or 15 years ago, the referee were and going to officiate the game and that's all. Now we are preparing more and more because we know that to have a better performance, we have to know better the players. And this is something that every EuroLeague referee is doing before the game.
Yeah, that's what I found very interesting. So I think the average fan or the average person watching the game, you know, thinks that, you know, that you guys just step off the van or step off the airplane and you guys go right to the game. You're just repping the game and after that you leave. But there's a lot that goes into it that you spoke before. There's a lot of preparation, not only mental preparation to understand the players, but there's also, you know, physical preparation, you know, as far as the referees. And I give you guys, you know, a lot of credit for that because I think that's the part that goes unnoticed. That there are a lot of times that I think many people, like I said, the average fan doesn't really understand what really goes into what you guys and how you guys, you know, try to prepare your job. So can you kind of give, you know, for the average fan and for the people that are watching that don't really know, you know, what is kind of like a day-to-day or a game day routine for most EuroLeague referees?
Probably not everybody know that we are improving studying our mistakes. So it's the same like for the players. I mean, if you are not a good free throw shooter, you will make after your practice probably 200 free throws. Or if you are not good enough for the reverse movement, for example, you are trying one time, two times, 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times, 10,000 times. Practically is the same for referees. We can learn from every games. I mean, it's not important that I officiate the game. It's important that we go and watch the game like referees, not like spectators, not like fans.
Yeah.
This is something that I start to do when I was young. When I step in one arena and watch a basketball game, I always try to look at the referees, look at the calls, but not because I want to criticize. Just because if for me was a bad call, try to understand why they did bad call. Because for sure,
why now?
In the next my game, probably I will have the same situation or similar situation, and I will try to avoid the mistake that my colleague did in that game. We watch our game that we already officiated the night before, and we try to analyze our mistakes. And then there is this protocol that we have. We have this self-evaluation that we provide to the officiating department, where we write what we saw from the game and what we did wrong, just to emphasize that we are trying to work on these mistakes. We work physically because we need to have good physical preparation, because to run behind you, it's a disaster for us. It's you are faster and faster and bigger and bigger. And even we are three, for sure we have to be ready to run a lot. And it's not only a matter of physical, because we know that most of the calls coming from our brain. So we have to be enough speed, enough fuel when the game is close or it's at the end, to be prompt to react immediately to one contact. The day of the game, we make this meeting that is very important for us, because it's the first part of the game. I mean, we try to jump into the game, take concentration, talk about our expectation about the game. We prepare the game according to our knowledge about the two teams. But most of the time, we have to be ready, and we know also that we can study everything, but then something happened on the game, and the game changed completely.
Yeah.
So we have also to be prepared to everything.
Yeah, so basically, I mean, it's super intricate, and basically you guys have spent hours and hours, you know, of time trying to perfect your craft, much like we do, much like the players, much like the coaches, much like everybody else. So I think that, to me, I always find it interesting, because like I said, to the average fan, most people, like I said, they think that like you guys just roll out of bed and you just, you know, get your whistle and get your uniform and, you know, you you come out to the game, which is nothing like that. When that's something that I think that us as players and us that are kind of in the know really, really appreciate.
For sure, this is the top level in Europe. So I think that the referee must be professional as much as possible. But this is also something that we are trying to teach to our young referee, to have this philosophy.
Yeah, so now you speak about young referees and trying to help them prepare. You're somebody who's a very experienced and, you know, has seen so many games and has reffed so many games. You know, what does it take? What attributes does it take for a referee or to be a successful referee?
A lot of things. I mean, the first thing is, for me, the best referee is the referee that it's at the end of the game, nobody remember who was the referee.
Yeah.
But for sure, he has to be very, you know, he has to know very well the game. I mean, it's clear that our sport, if you compare with other, it's very complicated. I mean, our rule is not easy.
Yeah,
we have few examples that a good referee, I mean, top referee level is before wasn't a player, because we have to know so many things, and you know, the very difficult things in our job is to interpret the contact. Because by the rule, every contact should be a foul.
Absolutely.
Can you imagine now with the bodies that we have on the court, with the how fast you are? So for us, the most difficult thing is to understand for every game what is the level of the contact, that it's legal or a little bit over the limit, and this is illegal. for sure cannot be at the same level for all games. It's impossible. So we have to decide, and we have to understand, and we have to read the game, which kind of physicality we can have.
Yeah.
But it's very difficult to make this this evaluation. So only if you have special feeling for the game, you can decide most of the time in the right way, because it's impossible to have one game without any mistakes. This is
I mean, that's but a lot of the attributes you just mentioned are like all the same of like what makes a really good basketball player. Like you said, it's about feelings, about understanding the court, understanding the mindset, understanding about what goes on. So it's funny how, like, you know, I guess like most people would think that like it's so different, but really, you know, everything we do together is all kind of one and the same, really.
Now you know everything about everybody.
Yeah.
And it's also for us. You can explain to the referee, this is the rule, blah, blah, blah. You have to call this one, you have to call that one, but then it's the contact is different. Every different. Contact is different.
Yep.
Every contact is different.
Yep.
So we have to explain to the referees that there are something that you have to officiate thousand and thousand and thousand and thousand of times, and then you are able to understand, oh, this is, for example, this dribbling, it's palming, for example, or this traveling violation. But if you don't see thousand of times,
you don't
even if
you
know the rule perfectly,
yeah.
For us it's difficult, very difficult. So the quality of the referee is to adapt his knowledge to the game. This is the most important thing.
Absolutely, like you said, I mean, adapt, knowledge, these are all keywords, especially that are used a lot in our locker room with our coaches and our coaching staff. Well, I'm sure you know very well. But before we get out of here, I was going to say we're going to do our quick questions. We call them our clutch time questions. So basically, I'm going to give you a question. And you kind of give me a couple words or less. All right, you ready?
Depends from your question.
They're easy, believe it. They're easy. Favorite Italian meal?
Pasta. No, for sure, pasta.
What kind of pasta? Which one?
Now it's I don't have a problem. I mean, you can eat anything. But before, I try to avoid, for example, carbonara because it's very heavy.
Oh yeah.
Especially before the game,
yeah.
Not, and even 2 days before, because it's it's better pasta al pomodoro.
absolutely. You just talked about it. You just asked my next question. We talked about before the game. Do you have, many players have it, but do you have like a specific like pregame routine, like a pregame ritual that you did like for before every single game?
Yes, I had before in the morning. I mean, early in the morning, I love to go to make a jogging in the morning. So it was something that was amazing. And I had the privilege, a big privilege to travel around the Europe. So it was very nice to, for example, to go to run in Madrid or in Barcelona. A little bit less comfortable in Moscow, for example, during the winter. Because the winter was a little bit cold. But for example, it was very nice to run around the Acropolis in Athens, for example. And it was, for me, was also a way to keep the concentration for the game. I mean, because in these 20 minutes, half an hour, I was already thinking about the game on the that I will officiate in the night.
You mentioned a few cities, but what was your favorite EuroLeague city to travel to?
There are a lot. Believe me, there are a lot. Spanish cities. I mean, every city has some particularity. Very, very nice. I mean that also you are meaning also about the arenas.
And, that was going to be the next question. Like, do you have a favorite?
Okay, I mixed the two questions.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. Do you have a favorite EuroLeague arena?
One of the best was for sure was Tel Aviv.
Because
always the people are very, put a lot of pressure on us.
Yeah.
Žalgiris, for example. But
yes.
One of the top is Pioneer. The old Pioneer was something amazing. And Oaxaca, when it was full, it was very, very strong. very strong deficit, but in particular Tel Aviv and Kaunas.
Then I have a couple quick ones. Three-pointer or dunk?
Dunk.
Yes.
Dunk yes. is more spectacular, yeah.
And then this is probably the age-old question that all referees hate. Block or charge?
Oh. This is disaster. You know, I had one conversation with one very famous NBA referees, Crawford. I mean, yeah. This question, both of us respond. We answer with the same block or charge, because this is very for us. It's very difficult. Thanks God, for some situation we have instant replay with the semicircle. But it's, it's very difficult. I mean, depends. Yeah. It depends not only from the what we see. It depends from the angle. For us, mm-hmm. the most important thing is the angle. Many times, different angles with the same referees, we have, this is something it's... We call a block, and then we go with the different. Oh, this is charge. Oh no, this is so we have. If you say to me that first of all we have to know the principle,
and then
the angle. I mean the our position on the court. It will make the right call. I mean if you are in the right spot. And if we know the principle of this particular play, we can have a majority of the time we have a right call. But if you are not in the right spot, it's 50-50.
I'm sure it's the most debatable question in all of basketball, no matter where you go, from professionals all the way down to junior teams, the block and charge. The next question, the last question I have for you, we talked about the reason why you were a referee is because you said that you realized that you couldn't be a player. But if you were a EuroLeague player in some fantasy world or what have you, what would your position be and what would the skill set that you want to have? Would you want to be a leaper? Would you want to be a three-point shooter? Would you want to be a point guard? Would you want to be a defensive stopper? Which one would it be?
I want to be like Kai Hans.
I love that.
Because you won four EuroLeague. It's a big. I don't want to be a star. I would like to be one member of one team that won something. I mean, in Europe, if you win, you are the best.
Best
if you arrive
ever.
Second. Yeah, you are nothing.
Yeah,
but I think that to be member in one successful team, I think that I can humble with this one. I know that it's very difficult. At the end, only one will win.
Absolutely,
and it's absolutely it's not easy. But the most important thing is that always we say to the young referee. Unfortunately, not everybody had the chance to officiate in the first division.
Yeah.
But it's what is important that you try to do to give all your effort or work hard to try to arrive there. Then if you don't arrive, because I'm sorry, the life is like this. There is a ranking everywhere, in sports, in the job, in the life,
in
everywhere.
In life.
But if you don't do all that you are able to do it, and then one day you turn back and you say, I didn't do, I could do something different. I think that then you regret a little bit. So
yeah,
the most important thing is that not everybody will become a league referee players or NBA players. But if you work hard and you try to reach the highest level and you arrive at the highest level that you can have it, I think that is successful.
Absolutely. Wise words from a very wise man. Thank you so much for Mr. LaMonica for joining me in the Quarter with Kyle Hines. I really appreciate the conversation. that I had with you. Thank you for taking the time. I look forward to having an opportunity to speak to you again. I know I see you sometimes on the forum sidelines and in different places here in Italy, but thank you for taking the opportunity and for allowing us to get a bit more of an insight on your life, but also more of an insight on the life of a referee. So I really appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Kyle, to invite me. For me, it was a big pleasure to stay half an hour with you and talking about basketball, our love.
Our passion.
Yes. Yes, our passion. Yeah. Thank you very much, and hope to see you soon in Milano.
Thank you, EuroLeague fans, for watching this episode of A Quarter with Kyle Hines. Look for more episodes coming very soon. Till next time, take care.